in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Somebody did point out from the Blitzer that said four decades. Technically, the show did exist in four different decades, 90s, 2000s, 10s, and 20s. That's true.
Yep, it's true.
That is accurate. Yes. This says, maybe we mentioned Yvonne Nava over at KVU 24. She said, it's Bucky Godbolt's last day on the Horn ATX. What can I say? You definitely kept us in all entertained. One of a kind. Can't wait to see where your talents take you next. You still owe me that cake pan.
No, she wants that pan. I got to get that Tupperware. I got to get that done. Maybe
also,
next decade.
Nice text from our friend. Tweet from our friend Alex Loeb. Also, Brian Davis, who used to be with the Austin American Statesman, who was many, many, many times a guest on our show.
Absolutely.
Sent a nice note. And Brian doing great work over now at the university.
Yeah, it's not often you get to have a dream job, but I got a chance to do two of them. One at the University of Texas, be the running back coach, and then have this job for 20 years. I mean, that's can't get any better than that. Really can't.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're right. I mean, we said that earlier, and I said that. I mean, this is the dream of what I wanted to do when I was – kid, and it might not have happened to the level it has if I hadn't met you in 1999, and chemistry was quick, and we built the show, and that's you know, steady work day by day and showing up each day to make it better, and that's really what would have made it. But you know, you got to find the right partner, and you got to find a lot of good luck to last this long.
There's a lot of things people can say about you know, that aren't so flattering about John Magvick, but without him I'd have never got to this city.
Yeah, that's true.
I saw an awesome picture of you and on MacVic.
Did you see that with my sunglasses on in Illinois, in Champaign, Illinois? Yeah, I had hair CB. And a beard.
Yeah, and there's a picture that I'll retweet. And our friend Johnny Rogers from the Big Ugly Tailgate, and of course, Johnny's dad, Randy, was on the staff with you at Texas with John MacVic. And the tweet came in. There's you, John MacVic, Jason Verduzco, and Howard Griffith.
Yeah.
Howard Griffith, number 39 or 29. And yeah, you had hair back then.
I had hair, yeah. Those aviators on, aviators. I was slick.
And the fact that it says the date's pretty cool. September 15, 1990. I was still in high school at the time of that picture being taken. Thank you very much. What were you all looking at? Do you remember? You have no idea. But look at that. You guys are just wearing, like, white business suit shirts.
No, that was a University of Illinois. It had the little writings on the side there. That was probably the game that Howard scored five touchdowns in, and wondering, should I put him back in the game? Should I let this guy score? I mean, eight touchdowns. Should I let him do it?
That's just weird because you just don't see coaches like John Magvick wearing ties anymore.
You look like a guy that the cash bag guy.
Bag of cash.
Yeah. Like a leather suitcase.
Bring in the fixer.
Well, come on, bring him in.
That might be accurate at some points in your career. Call Bucky. Call Bucky. Let's get this fixed.
I'll get it done.
No, just do me a favor. Make sure you don't call the head coach yet.
Well, remember when John Magvick was coaching Illinois, and that's when you hooked up with him, he had been in the NFL previous to that. He was coaching the Kansas City Chiefs before he went back to college.
My first words to him were, shut the F up. This isn't John Magvick.
You should have said, why didn't you draft Marino?
Yeah.
That's what you should have asked him when he was the head coach.
Took the Penn State dude.
Yeah. And now I'm assuming he grew up in Ohio, not far from where I spent the first 8 years of my life. Did he wear the tie? Because that's a
he's
Paul
always
Brown
been
thing.
Slick. Yeah, he's
that's
always
a Paul
been
Brown
like,
thing.
Yes, he's always been like that.
I'm assuming, kind of like Jim Tressel, right? Jim Tressel's from Youngstown. John Makovic's from Barberton. So those two grew up not far from it. And Paul Brown was a iconic figure in Northeast Ohio and really in all of football. And so, yeah, kind of like Tom Landry, you know, John always wore the tie. Now, he got to Texas, he didn't wear the tie as much.
Not as much. I mean, he loosened up. I mean, even as I said, Tom Coughlin, the first time I had seen Tom Coughlin in years was when he was the Giants and he came for to see the players at Pro Day. He dude had on cowboy boots and jeans. I had never seen Tom like that before without khakis on. It was very unusual to see him like that. But John wore a lot of, you know, he wore a lot of ties and really weird things like that.
He was
that.
A slick dresser.
He was slick.
I will also say that it was so cool that when when Augie Garrido became the baseball coach at Texas.
Oh, man.
You already knew Augie because you and Augie were together at Illinois, and all you would do is sit around and talk smack about John McAvoy.
Yes. Augie was so mean. That dude was mean. But he was great at the same time when my family left. We'd always meet at the Greasy Spoon there, and he'd buy me breakfast and tell me everything's going to be okay. He was very much like old Sammy Allred. Buck, you can do it. You can beat alcoholism. You got it done. And Augie would sit there, and we'd smell just like eggs and bacon leaving that place every morning. And Augie said, you can do this. My family was then gone from Illinois. My wife took my kids and said, we're out of this place.
They didn't like it.
Oh, Champaign, Illinois, Champaign, Urbana, they did not like it whatsoever. So,
but a biracial family?
It was different. It was okay for me. I was the coach. So, but it was great because Augie said, Augie, I'm living downstairs on an air mattress with a college refrigerator downstairs on my knees playing
Nerf basketball
with Jeff George.
I still love it. Chris Bennett, right on cue, has sent us the video. Mike Barnes of KVU24 did a great story with Augie, which he told the story.
About John?
Yeah, because, of course, Augie Garrido was at Cal State Fullerton building that program. He left to go to Illinois for a short time, had some pretty good success there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when John McAvoy was not only the head coach, but he was the athletic director.
Yes, he was.
And then Augie went back to Cal State Fullerton from there. John, of course, came here with you to Texas. So when DeLoss Dodds was looking for the replacement for the legendary Cliff Gustafson, he wanted to hire Augie Garrido. And as the story goes, and he told Mike Barnes, DeLoss Dodds talked to John Makovic. Hey, what do you think of Augie? You were with him in Illinois. And it was revealed later that John Makovic says, don't hire him. I wouldn't hire him. And gave him a negative review. And so John that got back to Augie when he was hired.
Of course it did.
And of course he said to John, it just shows you how much pull you have around here. Something along those lines, right? Your opinion doesn't much matter, it appears, because here I am, my friend. That's a good story. And you and Augie would sit, and of course, John lived on the golf course. Did you live on the golf course?
No. John
in Champaign.
In Champaign, he lived right on the golf course.
That is awesome.
I was there when he busted his face.
And then,
when
of
he
course,
wouldn't drop a ball, he decided he was going to hit it off the rock, and it came back and hit him right in the face. Just because that was just him.
Oh,
he was going to show
you. I heard you tell that story on Craig's show the other day.
He was just going to show me what a great golfer he was. So he went in the ditch, and I said, Coach, come up here, drop it. There's no reason for you to do that, John.
In the face.
That thing went bing, bang, and his nose exploded, and I was on the ground just rolling around. I couldn't help myself.
That's awesome. I love that story. All right, good stuff.
But one thing about him, he let me be me. Well, he let me coach. He never said, hey, why are you putting this guy in? Why are you bringing this guy in? I mean, and unlike crazy Tom Coughlin, who structured me, John just said, hey, you know what you're doing. But then again, when I was with Tom Coughlin, I didn't know what I was doing at that time. I just got there. I was still playing Bull in the Ring.
Well, that's how you learn, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Bull in the Ring, run an organization.
Oh.
And Tom, you know, John McAvoy and Tom Coughlin both could run an organization
pretty
well.
Oh, could they ever?
And had the organization that matters. The quote was, how does it feel to know your opinion doesn't matter? From Augie, and that's said in perfect Augie fashion. And then, of course, when Augie came here and our show was taken off, he would come on our show every week and talk Texas baseball. By the way, I heard David Pierce on with Craig yesterday, and that was very informative. That was really good stuff. Talking about their off season and how they feel really good about where they are, the coaching moves. So if you missed that, and you're a Texas baseball fan, it's the first time we've heard from Coach Pierce since the end of the season, and a lot has happened through the Major League Draft and transfer portals. And if you want a pretty in-depth overview of what's gone on, you can go back to the podcast page and find that.
There's no doubt.
Craig.
And Coach Pierce has got it down. I mean, he's been in the business for a long, long time. That's got to be one of those, E, where you look in the mirror and say, I got this. I'm not only the head coach, but I've got people around me. Now I can be the pitching coach. I can do what my expertise is. You know, not just coaching the whole organization, but individual group. Now he can get his hands wrapped around all that stuff because you got to look in the mirror because there's nobody else to look at now that you're doing that.
No question. All right, so there's some walks down memory lane. We'll continue to do it all the way to the end at 10 o'clock as we hand it off to Light the Tower and Craig Way here coming up. But speaking of coaches, some head news made this morning. We talked to Bobby Burton, Inside Texas and On3 Sports, and he wrote a story early this morning that dropped that, and then he confirmed it with us, that he's hearing that Gary Patterson is having deep thoughts about returning to the University of Texas in some capacity on the coaching staff. Of course, last year was a special advisor to head coach Steve Sarkisian. You know, and Bobby says that people he's hearing from that are close to Gary saying it's been a nice off season, you know, to have off, essentially what he's had, because he left the program in January. And that, as you know, Buck, the clock starts ticking. It's almost August. Yeah. Time to go to camp. As you asked Bobby, is Kelsey, his wife, just saying, hey, time to go back to work, Gary. You're driving me crazy.
Yeah, you've been here long enough.
Driving me nuts.
Time to go back.
So we'll see. And the way he wrote it, Bobby, that former TCU head coach Gary Patterson is mulling a return to college football, possibly in a reprised role with the Texas Longhorns. Nothing official, but both sides agree it has to happen pretty quick if it's going to, because camp starts next week. August 2nd.
Yeah, he wants to be here for, you know, when the freshmen come in and when everybody meets. That first meeting is always, I always love the first meeting. I really do. I still remember it once again when John was here when we came in to the first meeting, and he came in and everybody remembers when he looked around, he goes, I'm going to leave the room. I'm going to come back. Something's really different here. And I remember we're looking around. I'm like, oh, hell. All the white players are sitting there. All the black players are sitting on another side. And I knew exactly. So I was like, hey, you need to go there. You need to mix over there. You need to go over there.
It was segregated.
It was. I mean, and there's a lot. I mean, that's probably not the first place that it's ever happened where, you know, guys that are position guys. But when he came back in there, that whole room was scrambled, and guys were sitting in different places with other people, and everybody was kind of mixed together. And that was kind of eye-opening. That was kind of eye-opening for the players. They didn't realize how they were separating each other, you know, in that way. And that was one of the good John McAvich things.
It wasn't all bad. It was mostly that defensive blind spot that he had.
Gosh.
He didn't pay much attention to the defensive side of the ball.
And, no.
Obviously.
We had to take those good players.
Well,
so he had to score.
Well, and you know, John McAvich, he was the head coach when the Longhorns won the first ever Big 12 championship. That can't be taken away or forgotten. Longhorns have only won two more since and are trying to win their fourth this year on their way out the door. But John McAvich and you were part of that first one, and, you know, we know how that story went.
And they've got the right guy in place going into year three to get it done.
Feels like it. But Gary Patterson would be a big return because – and look, Bobby also was pretty clear, and I, you know, don't disagree at all. Gary Patterson wants to be head coach again. He would like
to. That's interesting to me. That's the part. I mean, he's not – like he's 70 years old. He's just 60. Is he 62?
About 62, 63. Let me make sure on Gary's official age. But, you know, he's still in good shape. He's 63.
I'm older than?
By like 5 years.
Wow.
But, yes, and I asked Bobby point blank, from people you're talking to, does Gary want to coach again? He said, oh, yeah. He flirted with Nebraska this offseason. They went with Matt Rhule. He talked to Arizona State last year. Didn't want to do that. But, no, if the right job comes available, and for him – it's probably better to still be in the game, right? Still be on a staff.
Oh, yeah, well, on a staff that can have some success this year, big time.
Can win a Big 12 championship.
Right.
And then parlay that into something even bigger. And, you know, as we said, don't think for a second if Jimbo Fisher doesn't get it done this year at A&M, then there's a move. He wouldn't want to be in that conversation. I don't know if A&M would go there, but, you know, Gary Patterson would like to be. And Bobby also mentioned the University of Houston, if Dana Holgorsen gets doesn't get it done in year one, because Dana Holgorsen's charge from that organization and Tillman Fertitta, their lead booster, you know, get this thing ready for Big 12 play, and it doesn't feel like it's ready. And if they have a rough year, Holgorsen could be a casualty. And Gary Patterson and, you know, Jeff Traylor are going to be candidates for any job that comes available in this region. I think that's safe to say. You know, because Gary Patterson, Jeff Traylor down at UTSA, they would both like to stay where their ties are.
Sure, I would believe that in the state, yeah.
Well, it's why Nebraska was interested in Gary Patterson, for sure, because, you know, just like Matt Rhule, they wanted someone who had deep ties in the state of Texas. Well, Gary does, and nobody has as many. But I think Nebraska just felt like going a little bit younger with Matt Rhule coming off of his failed NFL experiment than Gary. But, no, Gary, this sounds like this could happen, and he'll be back. And, again, they already have three advisors. You know, they got a bunch of coaches, but the special advisors have been hired. Paul Christ, Joe DeCamillis for special teams, and Payam Sadat on the defensive side of the ball. But Gary could be that next layer, which is just the second set of eyes for Steve Sarkisian kind of helping to orchestrate.
Yeah, I think
all
he worked on both sides of the ball, kind of.
Yeah, and he worked, you know, what you kept hearing from Sark and the people behind the scenes was he was just working on connecting with the players. And pushing them, pushing their button, you know, getting to know those guys, getting back. And I think that's one thing that's helping Gary. That's what he lost at TCU. We saw Mack Brown do it here, too. When a coach, you know, goes from being the head football coach his whole life, and all of a sudden you're the CEO of a big company, You can lose connection with the locker room. You just, you know, Gary, when he's at
TCU. Yeah, there seemed to be a problem every year there for a while at the end.
Right, and you know, when he got into it as a defensive coordinator for Dennis Franchione, and he and the connection to the players was legendary. But over time, he becomes the head coach, and then it's moving into the Big 12, and then they got to get a stadium built, and then they got to go talk to boosters and try to get them to donate more. And you start doing those kind of things and maybe lose connection
with the players themselves, yeah.
And you kind of hand that off, and I think you're seeing him get back involved in that, and that's something if he gets back in as a head coach, he'll get back to doing. Because it's one of the things Sonny Dykes did when he came in, was he immediately embraced the locker room, connected with the locker room, and as you've always taught me, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's for sure.
And the players need to know you're with them. And that's one of the exciting things about Sark, is it feels like this team really
yes.
likes him. And he's really connected to that team. And I remember with our recent conversation with Diamante, Tucker Dorsey was in here and said, I've never played a place where I had the head coach's cell phone and I could text him anytime. And I'm a defensive player.
How about that?
I'm a one-year linebacker from James Madison, and I got the coach's number, and I can text him anytime, and he'll respond
right
back.
That's why he's having the kind of recruiting years he's having.
Yeah.
That works at the house with mom and dad, too.
Because it's genuine. It's not fluke. And that's what a coach has to do, especially in this day and age with transfer portals. You got to stay connected to your locker room.
And his wife was my Texas angel when I was there. She would help me on the weekends with the recruits and stuff. She was magnificent. What an individual. I had taken my son up, Kyle, to, I think it was like a Nike camp up at TCU they were having, some workout for Nike. And I'm walking down the street, and I'm like, Kelsey, is that you? And she says, Bucky, what are you doing? I said, this is my son. I'm bringing him up here for these little tryouts. And I go, what are you doing here? She goes, I'm married to the coach. And I'm thinking.
You married Gary.
I'm like, wait a minute. Well, which assistant are you married to? She goes, no, I'm married to the coach. I said, Gary Patterson, you're married to him? She goes, oh, yeah. And she was she was special. This was just walking down the street, I saw her. She was special. She just had a demeanor about her. She loved the University of Texas. Like none of the, everybody dealt with some of the young ladies that we dealt with doing that because they took a lot of their time out of the weekends. And she was fabulous just with people. And I'll tell you what, she loved this university, and that's why it doesn't surprise me. And I always thought, myself, that one of these days maybe Gary would be the head coach at Texas. I know he's not that flamboyant kind of, but he was, you're talking about a rugged, rough-nosed, tough-nosed, great football coach, yeah.
Well, he'll be back.
I hope he comes back.
He'll have an opportunity again at the right place. But somebody texted and said, I don't understand why Jeff Traylor is even being considered next to Gary Patterson. GP has real skins on the wall. Look, say what you want. Jeff Traylor can coach. Now, Jeff Traylor's 55. He's not, this young, dynamic 30-year-old coach. Jeff Traylor coached high school football for a long time in Gilmer. He was at Jacksonville. Then he came to Texas as an assistant and has climbed the ladder. But in a brief amount of time at pretty much a startup program, UTSA, he's 30-10. He's got two conference titles. He's been the coach of the year in that conference, USA, twice. He can coach.
And fans love it, and he's sticking around in that area and recruiting in that area.
Right. So yes, you got to pick your guy, but I think Gary had a similar track record or build. He had to build TCU. He had to build the program. When Dennis Franchione left, to go to Alabama, he took that program and built it into what it became—a program that the Big 12 wanted to be in. And by the way, when Gary Patterson came last year to be a special advisor, he specifically mentioned his good friend DeLoss Dodds. That I want to come back because I, some level, feel like I owe it to him because DeLoss was pivotal in pushing for TCU to join the Big 12 with the other members of the conference. And look, this would be a good fit. Gary's a great coach. They're going to be a good member because there were teams in the Big 12 that didn't want TCU. They didn't think that was a good idea. DeLoss was very powerful within that persuasiveness. And so Gary knows that. So Gary appreciates, because he doesn't go where he goes without getting into the Big 12 Conference with that program, and obviously TCU's playing in the national title game last year. So he still, and as you said, his wife, very close to the program. So his point is, if he's going to stay with the stay in college football and stay around the game, which he wants to do because he wants to be a coach.
Yeah, he's not running off out of this state.
Yeah, and Bobby wrote today and told us that he turned down Lincoln Riley at USC. That Lincoln Riley tried to bring him, and gosh, who needs more help on their defense than him? That he tried to bring him to Southern California, and Gary turned that down, which, you know,
stay close. No, he's not that guy. He's staying close.
And if you're staying in it, you know, stay with a group you already know. You already know all these players. You know these coaches. Bobby mentioned that.
And you have made a difference.
Yeah, you have made a difference. And Bobby mentioned that these coaches, he really likes Pete Kwiatkowski, and he really likes, you know, Blake Gideon, and working with this coaching staff is tight-knit, and he really likes that. So I think you can see something on that here in pretty short order. So keep an eye on Gary Patterson. Also keep an eye on Boulder, Colorado, where the Buffaloes are rolling into the Big 12 officially next year. That makes it a 13-team conference as it stands. How large will it grow becomes the question before next season, because the things you have to remember, when we get into these conference realignment conversations, everyone talks about, you know, penalties to leave and how much does it cost to buy out of where you're at. There is no buyout for Pac-12 teams, none. They don't have a media deal in place beyond next year.
How the hell do they think they can bring teams in there, into it?
Well, that's the thing. I keep hearing that they're having an emergency meeting in the Pac-12 of the presidents, and they're going to talk about bringing in San Diego State. San Diego State just tried to jump in there and then came back and begged to get back into Mountain West. They're not coming. They're not coming at this point. Anybody that would jump in that conference is jumping into a dying league. That has to be known. And I think Kliavkov can say what he wants for the PR side, but – I mean, it is much more likely at this point that they lose much more members than adding members. Now, if Oregon, Washington, Arizona State, Utah all jump along with Colorado either to the Big Ten or the Big 12.
Got no league.
You got no league. And that's when you'll start adding San Diego State.
Sure.
And Boise State. And, you know, you'll rebuild as a Group of Five conference on the West Coast.
You'll be getting the same money. That's what you'll be getting.
Yeah, about the same.
Yeah.
About the same. You know, less, but 15 to 20 million. Because again, think about this. What's being reported is George Kliavkov has put in front of the preview, when it was Colorado, there were 10 members, a media rights deal that was between $19 and $21 million per year. Okay? That is puny in comparison to Big Ten, SEC, ACC, and even the Big 12.
I don't even know what that does for your football program and stuff. Forget the rest of your sports.
Well, and that's why all the leagues, all the schools in the conference are saying, we're not signing anything. Because you know the next deal they sign is going to come with large granting of right penalties and buyouts.
Oh, yeah.
And those schools are not signing anything to lock themselves in until it's the right deal, or they're just going to jump at no penalty. And they'll end up in the Big Ten. And again, I believe Oregon and Washington are just waiting for the phone to ring from the Big Ten office to invite them, and they would jump at it. Stanford would too, because they understand what's happening.
And the Big 12 commissioner is at work for Oregon. Oh, they have to be.
Well, I mean, Oregon's the big fish left. The biggest fish left. So we'll see. That's where the Pac-12 is. Colorado coming. We'll talk more about that coming up. Your thoughts on Gary Patterson. And obviously, as Buck has announced earlier, this will be his last show. I know early in the week you said Monday would be your last, but you want to make this one your final day here on B&E. And that's absolutely sad, but it's also completely your call. We'll come back. B&E on the horn.
Light the tower.
Mac Brown joins us.
The first TV job I had, they sent me on there with John Saunders on ABC Countdown to Kickoff, and they didn't tell me anything. And they just said, answer John's questions. I said, well, which camera do I look at? And they said, don't worry about it. Look at John. And I mean, I had absolutely no chance to sit and visit and ask about the show or questions. And then they'd be in my ear. And I'll never forget, Craig, one of them said, make your answer shorter. And I said, got it. And they said, don't talk to me on TV. You're on TV.
On the Horn.
Sunny days are ahead as Ironworkers Local 482 Union is hiring 3,000 people right now for a huge new project. Maximize your potential today by applying at ironworkers482.org. That's ironworkers482.org.
We still have a minor delay. This is going to be on the westbound side of 290, headed past Greenberry Drive. That's going to be in the Manor area. So, yeah, it's still there. It's still on the board. Might need to navigate around that, but the delay is just not that terrible. As a matter of fact, there haven't been many huge delays since we had that crash earlier on I-35 near Grand Avenue Parkway southbound, but that's long gone. Further south from there, though, headed toward Brunnberg from Breaker, a little slow, and headed to downtown north and south of Ben White. Some heavy traffic, but not as heavy as we've seen in the past. Westbound frontage of Anderson near I-35 at Gessner. That is an injury wreck on the access road. I'm Don Miller. There's your traffic.
Like sports, business is about winning. Championship decisions are business decisions based on what it takes to help your company win. And that's why there's UBO Business Services, specializing in helping you win every day by streamlining workflow and allowing you to better communicate within your organization and with your customers. Make your championship decision with UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com. Great people, great service, endless possibilities.
It's time to warm up that scoreboard and get ready to bring home the win with Specs. Specs has you covered with lower prices on all your favorite fan fuel. From craft beer, rare spirits, and world-class wine to chips, dips, and gourmet finer foods. And with same-day delivery when you order online or through the app, Specs is your MVP for the biggest score of the game. At Specs, the fun starts here.
Here's to you. Cheers to savings.
Running a small business takes grit and determination and a communications provider that's got your back. That's Spectrum Business. Fast, reliable communication solutions that keep your business going. Get 300 megabits per second internet, just $49.99 a month when bundled with Spectrum Business Connect, the all-in-one phone system that lets you work from anywhere on any device. And get a free mobile line for a year. Visit spectrum.com/go faster. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Now here's Rita Ballou live from inside your plumbing.
Even if your drain doesn't show any leaks or have any eye-watering smells coming from it, it doesn't mean your septic system still may not be working well. Pumping your septic tank can help improve the efficiency of your system, but you're going to need an expert.
And that's why Hambone Plumbing is proud to announce Hambone Septic Pumping.
The same great company now offering even more services.
How do you get your septic system at proper working levels, Rita?
Call Hambone, 512-388-7030. HambonePlumbing.com.
License number is M12470 and TCE. Q26366.
This is Scott Crossett with Apple Commercial Leasing. That's right, Apple Commercial Leasing, the home of the unlimited mileage commercial lease and so much more. Are you looking for a smarter, more cost-effective way to handle your company vehicles? Do you need customized work trucks? Are you looking for ways to cut your transportation cost? Look to Apple Commercial Leasing for the quick, accurate solutions. For business owners large and small, the unlimited mileage lease offers you tax advantages, cash flow savings, low to no out-of-pocket expenses, no dealership hassles, and fast and friendly service. From light-duty trucks to medium-duty trucks, even commercial specialty vehicles, buses, even 18-wheelers, we can do it all. Experience the Apple Advantage. Give us the opportunity to bid, and you'll never regret it. Call for free quotes at 335-3273-33Lease or click 33lease.com. That's 335-3273. We will save you and your company time and money.
Take this job and shove it.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
No more. A woman done left and took all the reason.
Yeah, sad day for sure with Bucky having his final show. And as we announced earlier in the month and earlier this week, Bucky will have new opportunities within this market. And I'm assuming do a wonderful job there. It's like he's done here for all these years when since he rejoined the Horn. Well, what year was that, by the way?
It's been 8 years, I think. Something
so 2016-ish,
like that.
When 2015 when we reengaged after a few years separated. But it's been a heck of a run.
I went to be a country star for a while.
You did. You did. Worked with the great Bob Cole and learned a lot, I'm sure, about radio
there. I most certainly did.
Well, I'll be honest. I learned a lot because I had only done a radio show with you on a daily basis from 1999 until we separated in the late 2010s or 2000s. And just same thing, radio situation, life and radio, corporate whatever, or business whatever. And I learned a lot by having to go out and build a station and find new hosts and taught me a lot. And that's, what I think is happening here too is new opportunities. And hopefully we still have a chance to engage and do a show. But, that's what it needs to be. I'll be back on Monday and Tuesday of next week before the other changes come. Hopefully be able to give you more details on what's coming beyond that. But I will be here Monday and Tuesday. Bucky will not be. And thank you to all of the kind words. Now.
Yes, for sure.
We're dealing with a tough July, but we should also mention that during this month, we lost a great member of our team here at the Horn and at the Austin Radio Network. Eric Kruger was a board operator and producer here at the Horn and with us over at the Zone previous to that, Buck, for a long, long time. And Eric passed away this month at his home suddenly and unexpectedly.
I saw him on that Friday on the way out.
That was on a Saturday that he passed. Eric Kruger, and you may know his voice. He would chime in on shows and was a huge fan of music and playing the music back in, just like Ty just did. And I had my last run-in with Eric Kruger. I was up here recording the Eyes on Texas multicast, which we record every Monday night here at the stations, and he was running a Rangers game. And his little trick was, you know, Eric Raines has this kind of like you have that relax the back chair over there.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Raines has this great big throne of a chair in Coke FM. And I came in, and that's where I do. We record the Eyes on Texas multicast down there in the Coke FM studio every Monday. And the chair was gone. I was like, uh-oh, what happened? I mean, so I ended up sitting on a stool for the whole thing, which was fine. And then as I was leaving, I see Eric Kruger. He had taken the throne chair all the way down to this studio next to us so he could do the Ranger game and sit in comfort while he's, you know, the Rangers were playing. He was running the board for that. But unfortunately, we lost Eric that Saturday. You said you saw him on that Friday?
Yeah, in the elevator. So he's coming in. I was going out.
And he died suddenly at his home that next day. A little tribute that we wanted to play for Eric, a longtime coworker of ours here and over at Clear Channel and iHeart and The Zone when we were there. Huge sports fan, huge fan of sports radio, and here's a little tribute to our good friend who we lost this month.
The Austin radio community and Austin Radio Network lost a beloved member of our team this month. You may not have known his voice, you may not have known his name, but Eric Kruger was behind some of the biggest names and broadcasts in the city over the last 30 years. A look back at one of the boldest and most humble men in the business by those who worked closest with him, Eric Kruger.
This is Chad Hastings. First and foremost, to Eric's wife and family, we wish you nothing but the best. We are thinking of all of you. It was such a punch to the gut for us to hear about this. We cannot imagine what you're going through. It was just horrible to hear. Worked with Eric for many years in a couple different spots, and we were so glad to have him back in the building at ARN, and he was excited to be back. First and foremost, when I think of Eric, I think of heavy metal music. He's the guy that turned Isaiah and I on to Iceberg Slim's album. We were just blown away that he knew all that stuff. So it was incredible to talk music with him. He was always so passionate about whatever he was talking about, whether it was entertainment or something musical, something in sports that he'd heard. I remember when I was doing Longhorn basketball games for the women's team, you'd be traveling, trying to set everything up. You had to be the tech on the far end of it on road games specifically. And so whoever was on the board producing the game was a big deal. So when I heard the name of the person producing, it would change my attitude sometimes. And if I heard the name Eric Kruger, I knew I was in good hands. I knew things would be run correctly. I knew everything would time out right. And then I could go to worrying about all the other stuff. And I didn't have to worry about, you know, the production element. So God bless you, Eric Kruger. Rest in peace. We are going to miss you, and we'll always think about you. You were incredibly impactful in the Austin radio scene. Everybody that's worked with you will never, ever forget you. Rest in peace, Eric Kruger.
Round Rock Express play-by-play announcer Mike Capps.
Children of radio share a special bond, just like a family. Eric Kruger and I were those children and had so much in common that way. We cut our teeth listening to Wolfman Jack on our transistors and listening to 50,000-watt radio stations from across the U.S., booming into East and Central Texas with rock and roll music and news and sports. A dream come true. The respect we shared for each other's walk in this business moved to friendship, to a kinship, offering us freedom to talk frankly about each night's Round Rock Express baseball broadcast, which music beds we'd use, and where we'd place Express promotional pacers used during a night's play-by-play. From his years working with me, he instinctively knew how I wanted the broadcast to sound. He also knew, because of our mutual trust, that he had great latitude, especially when I was on the road, and he constantly blew me away with his music bed surprises. Eric Kruger's knowledge of musical superstars in their hometowns was second to none. Oklahoma City, now that was a different deal. It proved problematic until late one night in an extra innings game in Oklahoma City, he fired up between innings, Texas Fight? Which thrilled fans in Austin and Round Rock, of course. But I got more than a few uncensored emails from Sooner fans on that one. Eric loved all the shows he produced and the people he worked with. I'm prejudiced, but I think he loved the Express most of all. You know, as a friend of Eric's, you loved Eric most of all. You see, in this day and age of use them up and spit them out, you do not replace Eric Kruger. Sure, I wish and you wish he was still here, but you remember him and rejoice in the life he lived, and you thank God in heaven you had the chance to know him and to learn from him and love him. Godspeed until the other side, my noble friend. Until then, Cappy says, adios for now.
Voice of the Longhorns, Craig Way.
My first memories of working with Eric Kruger came back, obviously, across town in the days of doing Longhorn games. And there was always this settling environment, the settled atmosphere whenever Kruger was on the board. We said, hey, he's got it. He's on the board, and I didn't have to worry about a lot of things. There was always that. But then I got to learn more about Eric over time when he was the producer on my show across town as well. And I found out what a great sense of humor he had, how highly intelligent he was, and how he also cared about things. And he could just drop a line on you that would just change your perspective on something or fill in a blank that you didn't know existed. Well, you know, that guy, he also starred in and would name off an obscure movie you hadn't heard about. He was great on all of those things. But most importantly, Eric Kruger was a man who cared about his craft. He cared about what you were doing on your end, and he would do whatever he could to assist you, to help make it go, and he would do whatever he could to make sure you felt good about it as well. And that's one of the things I'll miss about him the most, and I'll miss his friendship as well.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
There it is, the Eagles' first ever number one hit. First ever number one hit that hit the top of the charts. And, of course, they had several lead singers and vocalists in that wonderful band. But obviously Don Henley and Glenn Frey, most known. But Randy Meisner, with that high note right there, was the lead singer on that number one hit. Randy Meisner passed away yesterday at the age of 77. One of the original founding members of the Eagles band. Randy Meisner was 77 years old, but also an appropriate launch to the final segment that we're going to have on this show. And about 15 minutes left in what we've known as the B&E show over all this time since 1999 with a brief interruption through the middle. But going to miss doing the show with you, my friend. There's no doubt about that.
There's no doubt of how I feel. So, and thank you very much, and thank you to all of you. It has been absolutely a blast to get on the, you know, get into the, to the hearts, to your cars, you know, for all you guys that never had a job, you know, our guy that we bought a radio for so we could listen to this show.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, Mike? We got Mike a radio. He wanted to listen. He heard this show. He didn't have a – it was a homeless dude.
It was a homeless guy, yeah.
It was a homeless guy. Didn't have a radio.
Lived in an encampment, like in the trees.
We got him a radio so he could listen to this show every morning. That was fantastic. It's been great.
It certainly has. It's been a fun run, and sad that it's happening, but, you know, it's the business, I guess. But no, one more blitz. No, we won't do the blitz anymore, but we're going to miss the buck. And he's going to do great wherever he goes and be kind and do good for other people, because that's what he's always done for us and for the listeners. And all the folks that are texting Buck about battling sobriety, you've helped a lot of people that way.
Well, they've helped me. It's you know, it's not all about what I've done for you. It's what you've done for me, and I appreciate it.
All right. Well, that's we got to fill 13 more minutes or 10 more minutes, but we do know coming up it'll be Light the Tower with Craig.
And, I do love that picture of Dak Prescott as an old man.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, somebody sent us some little spoof picture of Dak when he's 58 years old, still playing quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, Cowboys camp will continue. Sorry to have an injury. I did mention, and it's worth mentioning for Longhorn fans, that DeMarvion Overshown is already catching heads and catching eyes at Cowboys training camp. And Dan Quinn was excited to draft DeMarvion Overshown. Remember, a couple of years ago when the Longhorns had their coaches clinic in the spring, part of spring practice, Dan Quinn was the keynote speaker, right? He was the coach they brought in. And it's appropriate that he's now taking DeMarvion Overshown. Got to know him that week that he was here, that weekend, and got to see him play. And DeMarvion Overshown really epitomizes what Demo's about, what Dan Quinn's about, which is positionless football. And the idea of a guy that can, you know, you can call him a safety, you can call him a, you know, box linebacker, you can call him a nickelback, whatever you want to call him. He's just a football player who likes to hit people and get people to the ground. And the Cowboys, you know, if they're going to put Micah Parsons more on the edge and let him run that, you could see DeMarvion Overshown in a role similar to what Micah does when he's not, you know, putting his hand on the ground and he's standing up, and he's a stand-up linebacker, especially in passing situations where he can use his coverage skills but also can play the run if they do, run draw plays or whatnot. I like that DeMarvion Overshown is already opening some eyes, and hopefully he can stay healthy in this camp.
Well, they got big-time hitters now from that linebacker area to that safety area. I mean, they're going to be stout against the run.
Think J'Ron Kearse, right? J'Ron Kearse is a big safety, big rangy safety, and that's what you're hearing Dan Quinn say early is, you know, he put a name on him, but when we're in our base package, you could see DeMarvion Overshown lining up as a safety.
Absolutely.
You go to the nickel, you could see him slide down into the box. You can also see him coming on blitzes. There's a lot they can do with DeMarvion Overshown. So, gosh, is this any time you get to this time of year, all you're hoping for is health, right? You just don't want anybody to get hurt, because especially these rookies, they need every rep they can get. That's the disappointing news from Cowboy Camp yesterday, is that their second-round pick, you know, DeMarvion and Demo was their third-round pick, pick 90. Their second-round pick was the Michigan tight end Luke Schoonmaker, and he's hurt. And the way Mike McCarthy put it yesterday, it's a pre-existing toward before they even drafted him, foot injury. And I hope they didn't draft him knowing that that's a problem.
And did they investigate that well enough?
Well, you know, do combines, and they all get to do medicals, and he was there. Now, if it happened between the combine and the draft, and no one knew about that, but that's what he said. He said it's a pre-existing foot injury that he came to us with, essentially. So you hope, because then he needs those reps, because they, you know, you use a second-round pick on a player. He needs to be part of your depth chart.
Plus, at the tight end position, what they're missing right now, too.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz is gone, and they'd like Jake Ferguson. Ty likes Jake Ferguson quite a lot. He's the second-year man who they took in the fourth round out of Wisconsin last year. Then you bring in this guy, and they have Peyton Hendershot, but he's more of the bruising blocking guy. But they want to run those three tight end sets, so hopefully Schoonmaker can get back. But the other concerning part for that comment from Mike McCarthy is there's no timeline. Like the way he made it sound, they're hoping he can – remember, they do their few weeks in Oxnard, and then they come back to the Star Complex for the second half of training camp in Frisco. He made it sound like they're hoping he can get some time in Oxnard while they're there. That didn't sound optimistic that it's any time, you know, in the next week or so. So we'll keep an eye on Schoonmaker.
Boy, they got a lot of these first-day injuries that they're going to have to look over and really be careful with.
Yeah, it's the fear. And, it's, you know, guys getting back on the field for the first time and going full speed for the first time in a while. And you can train all you want all offseason to be in the best shape you can. But you know,
it's not like when you're going against that competition and you're making those moves.
And I hope that I really, really hope that Joe Burrow's okay.
Oh, I do too. And Ramsey, I mean, for, you know, I think Miami wants to do some big things. That move right there, getting Jalen Ramsey, was huge for them. And to have him go down.
Absolutely. All right, some text coming in that says, this is our good friend Aunt Geronimo, who did great work at CBS Austin for so long with Bob Ballou and now still doing the TV production game. Says, love you, B&E. Terribly sad to hear this is the end. Thank you for all you've done for Austin Sports Radio. Coach Mac Brown made it clear. Coach Mac Brown made it for four presidential terms, which is cool, but you guys made it six, which is even cooler. Y'all are a great team. Thank you for your impact on the community, and much love and respect. Best in the future. Thank you, Aunt. Appreciate you all the time. And text is pouring in. And, you know, it's unfortunate, as we say. It just, I guess it's part of the business, but it does suck that this is the last one. But, you know, not our call.
Once again, it didn't happen to me. It happened for me.
Yeah. And open up new opportunities. And as I've told the story, you know, when we first met and started doing the show together, it was immediate chemistry. But then 2008-ish, we were going to take a move to another station. But then you got the opportunity to do the KVET thing with Bob Cole, which was a great opportunity for
you.
And
I basically needed the insurance. I had kids playing in soccer and had a surgery every other month.
Well, that's that backstory is, that's the true story. When I left the zone, you were coming with me, and we were going to take our show to the new place and build on that and take all our connections and all the success we've had for the first 10 years and build a new station. And obviously, between me leaving and you being able to leave, what do you know? The market crashed in 2008. And the people who were hiring us at the new place went bankrupt. The company that Simmons Communications out of Utah ran out of money.
And truly, my kids were having 13 surgeries at that time for soccer.
Right. And then so the move, which was we had these great offers and they were going to take, then all of a sudden the offers changed. And I understood. You were like, man, I can't leave this place, even if I got to go work with Bob Cole, which turned out to be a great thing for you.
Even if I have to go work with
him. I understood it completely. And, you know, that was, but it was a challenge. But it did present a new opportunity for you and for me. And obviously, we reengaged in the middle part of the tens and got it back together. And we've been rolling ever since. And I hope this is exactly what that is, a new opportunity for both that will. We'll re-engage in a new way. And there's so many ways to do media now, Buck. We could do a podcast. We could do multicast. We could do whatever we want. But I
know what I
you...
cannot do, getting up at 3:30 anymore. I'm not getting up at 3:30.
Yeah, you are.
No, that's not that. Happening. That's not.
Well, and that's
I'm not doing that.
That's the thing. And, you know, when life deals you lemons, you got to make lemonade. And that's really all any of us can do here at the station. I am fortunate that they have offered me a chance to stay and help restabilize some things. But that's coming with its own trepidation and fears, and I don't know, you know, there's a lot going on with this company.
Everything new is a little scary at first, but everything will work out.
And but you know, this choice I had to make for kind of the same reasons you did. I got kids in college, and I've got I need security immediately, not to take a risk of something down the road turning up. That's kind of my situation. But same time, I know it'll all work out. And
I'm just hoping maybe one of these times I'll get a call from some of the people I haven't got a call from that make decisions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all you need is a little respect. That's all. Like I said, I it's not that you deserve it. I think you earn it. And part of that is I think I've earned some of that.
Without a
doubt.
After
all these years.
Well, you've helped me out a lot, Bucky. So I just wanted to.
Well, as I said, the people that you will be around, you will grow. It'll grow. You'll get it.
Well, I will say this, having followed you, worked with you for so long, whenever we have a producer or a young person that works at the station, you take them in. And it's like you never stop coaching, right? You still
that's the coaching part of it.
You're still coaching them, and it's you help those young guys grow up, and it's what you do with your education degree and your background, and then coaching. You, whenever there's a young Ty comes in, or Isaiah, or Brad Kellner,
I'm going to make a great starter.
I try to teach them how to do the nuts and bolts of radio, but you teach them how to grow up and be people, and I think that has always been great.
Well, and that's what the people that have listened to this show are. I think we've touched on a lot of people that have all these 20 years have talked with their kids, and their kids have gone on to be really, really good, solid citizens, good, solid people. And that's what's important. We need some solid people. We need some solid.
We're not quite sure about Ty yet.
Well, I mean, he's 25, and he will.
You said good, solid citizen.
Yeah,
I mean, we still have some room for growth on that front.
Hey, sink or swim.
Got to get better every day.
That's right. As I learned how to swim when somebody pushed me into the deep end, I just started doggy paddling until I got to the side, and that's Ty will do that, but he'll grow. And once again, to all you folks out there, thank you for helping me grow. I really do appreciate it. And E, not enough said about you, but thanks for the structure that I needed and for the friendship. And some of my deepest, darkest secrets never went past our conversations, and that's all you can ask from a partner.
Oh, no doubt, buddy. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened, my friend.
There you go.
And I hope it happens again. Ty, thanks. Everybody in the texts and the emails and the tweets, very kind as well. I'll be back Monday. Unfortunately, Buck will not. Everything podcast, if you miss any part of this show, at our website, hornfm.com. Light the tower. Lights up next.